Amen. You can grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2 this evening as we continue on in our Why series. Church, I don't know if you realize this or not, but we started the Why series and immediately our online attendance went from about 45, 50,000 people on a Wednesday night to, in these last 4 weeks, 150, 160, 175,000 people on a Wednesday night because of this topic. Because of this topic, I told you last week that it has generated more emails and letters and calls to this church than any other message or topic in the history of this fellowship. And it exposed to us a broken world of heartbreak, bruised and battered lives, people living in the shadows, even under the roof of their own homes, and even in their own marital relationships. And my hope is that God brings healing to the lives affected. And I think in some way, shape, or form, all of us are affected. And tonight we're going to be looking at, in our Why series, why is sex and sexuality so important to our identity? What's going on in the world around us? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 addresses this, starting there. There the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man, that is Adam, should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable," or comparable, either way, "to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air." You know, I love that. Chemically, biologically, that's a fact. Did you know that, what I just read a moment ago? If you're a scientist tonight, you'd say, yeah, well, that's a fact. "And brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." Isn't that interesting? All the animals had partners. Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, Mr. and Mrs. Monkey. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up, the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, that is Adam, he made into woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said," I love this, "this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." It's awesome that Adam knew that instantly. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Sex and sexuality in light of our identity today. There's a lot of talk, obviously. It's a topic that a friend of mine who's a chaplain to the United Nations works in New York City there. And he's so kind. He's always invited me to go there and minister with him to the nations. He says in one day he visits anywhere from 100 to 135 nations a day at the UN. You know you can do that. When you go from one room to another, you're going to one sovereign nation to the next. Goes in there and asks them for prayer. Goes in there and asks them if they'd like to hear the Bible read. And by the way, by far, most national ambassadors there, international ambassadors, want the Bible read to them. They want prayer. That's amazing. Yeah, hands down, by far. Very, very few people reject. But the topic and the issues that are discussed there, most of them, he said to me, everything is preempted, no matter what it is. If it's feeding people in Ethiopia, if it's a looming war in some part of the world, everything is preempted by the topic we're talking about tonight. It seems so strangely out of place, but I want to submit to you tonight that we're living in an age that is a harbinger of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living at a time that is unique in all of human history. And I'm not just saying that because we're here. There are things happening in the world simultaneously that have never happened before on a grand scale. And yet this one topic drives national and international debates. So I just want you to know, as we read that a moment ago in Genesis, that God takes the issue of sex and sexuality really seriously. And you may be surprised to hear that it's not for religious purposes that God takes these topics so seriously. God is very clear regarding gender identity in the Bible. And to disagree with God in this area is to reject the authority of God, frankly. His design, His plan, His purpose that God has made. Everything I read, you read with me a moment ago in Genesis, is all preloaded with information. A male and a female coming together produces life. God says there's a female bird and there's a male bird. There's a female animal with four legs and there's the male version of it. And just me saying this tonight has been completely normal for about 5,000 years until recent days or weeks or months. Why? What's happening? I want to submit to you tonight that what we're talking about is a global issue. It's happening universally around the world at the exact same time. I do not believe it's because of social media. I am convinced it's because it is a last days manifestation of doctrines of demons and evil forces trying to destroy people who have been created in the image of God, and Satan will do anything to destroy the human soul. And he doesn't care one bit about your feelings and about your rights or your freedom. Satan wants you dead, body, soul, and spirit. Satan wants you with him in hell forever because of one reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. And Satan hates that offer of eternal life and forgiveness and salvation. He wants you destroyed. And I want you to think about that tonight. To reject God's plan of sex and sexuality is to reject God's authority. Somebody sent me this little story. It's very cute. I loved it. And I'll read it to you. A little boy, Billy, asked his mom and dad, "Where did I come from?" The parents knew that this day would eventually come, so they sat Billy down and gave him the talk from A to Z. And when they had finished, Billy appeared completely baffled. And he looked up at his parents and said, "I'm not sure about all that stuff, but my friend Johnny says he came from Chicago, and I want to know where I came from." Can you imagine? Oh, gosh. But that's a great example for us parents tonight, because kids need to know. And kids need to be told about God's plan, God's plan scientific, God's plan is proven, and God's plan works. And God says, "I've made humankind male and female." I must say, leave it to the Christian community, unfortunately, to mess things up, though, when it comes to sex and sexuality. The historical church has tended to play down sex and sexuality, even within marriage. I think you all know that. It probably reached a height in the Puritan period, Puritan age. It's when the church allowed what is called Platonism to creep in, or Christoplatonism. Platonism, based on the teachings of Plato, is that things that are physical are wrong. That the true essence of what is pure is spiritual, not physical. Now listen, everybody. There's people that believe this today. It's a form of Gnosticism. That if it's physical, it's wrong. And the Puritans really adopted that kind of Platonism, which was, if it brings you pleasure, it's wrong. If it's physical, it's wrong. But they had a hard time reconciling what the Bible has to say. And so they battled with themselves culturally. Now, we've taken it on the other side in our world, in our culture. And The pendulum swings from wide to one side or the other. But notice what God says a moment ago in the scripture, that he made male and female. We're talking about physical creation. Church, listen up. When God said, I made these things, he's talking about physical creation. He really made a cow. He really made a dog. He really made Adam. He really made Eve. These were physical things that you could touch. Are you with me? And God said at the end of it all, when he was all done making it, what did he say? Boy, did I make a mistake. No, he said, it is very good. So we do not believe in Platonism or Christoplatonism, which is the Christianized version of, oh, if it's physical, it's wrong. No. God has given us our bodies to celebrate in the confines or the construct of his order. It's very well defined by God. Why? So that you might have an awesome life. But we have dueling philosophies in the world around us today. And I think the church has failed to address the topics that we're talking about tonight. The church just sweeps it under the carpet while the culture takes the center stage, and the church doesn't have a response, so the church sits silent, and then people within the church, because the pulpits are silent, begin to acquiesce or to embrace an aberrant sexuality. Because no one's speaking up for what God's design is. Just remember this, God's design is great and he loves it and it's awesome. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, then God saw that everything that he had made physically indeed was very good. So tonight we're going to be looking at this. Regarding sexual identity, gender identity, we're just going to be answering this one question tonight. Where does all the confusion come from? Are any of you involved in medicine or nursing? Raise your hand. Are any of you nurses, doctors, chemists, biologists, something along those lines? Any of you first responders? Raise your hands if you're, first responders, great. Listen, there are certain aspects of your education from one end to the other that is very, very important that you understand what is known as science. Science has to be something which is not theory. Science cannot, listen, if it's a theory, it's a theory. It's not scientific. If you're going to go by the actual definition of science, it's that which is reproducible and found to be proven. That's why evolution is still a theory. It's never been proven. And so for those of you who are chemists or biologists or physicians or nurses or maybe paramedics or whatever, there's a science to what you do. And you can't waver. If you waver off of that science, you can kill someone. Why all the confusion now regarding gender identity? What's happening? Where has it been? Why now? Why the confusion? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Listen, this is science. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Did you hear that? Did everybody hear that? Be fruitful and multiply. Who is to be fruitful and multiply? Man, right, I heard both mankind, which is men and women, or in this case, Adam and Eve, and then all of us who have come from them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and everything living that creeps on the earth. This is God's design. And then real quick, a few more. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 and Genesis 4, verse 1. And you ask yourself now, especially with what I'm going to share with you, is this scientific? And they were both naked and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Stop right there. You see the word knew? You're going to be, I think, blessed by this. The word knew, Adam knew Eve. There's There's no instruction given in the Bible. We have no information that God said, now, Adam, this is what you do with Eve. Eve, this is what you do with Adam. It is, listen to me, this is going to sound foreign, but it's worked for 5,000 years. Without the California Comprehensive Sex Education, it's worked for 5,000 years. And it is this. Adam saw Eve and went, wow. And God didn't have to say to him, now look, Adam, look to the chalkboard right here. Starting here. No, you know what? They discovered each other. They didn't need a book. They didn't need a teacher. They didn't need anything like that. Part of the incredible joy was them figuring it out. Because we've been created in the image of God, God has placed it within you to know what to do. And yes, let's be honest, first time together, husband and wife, it's clumsy, it's funny, you laugh, and then this and that, and it's part of your bonding. It's part of the experience. It's wonderful. Adam knew Eve, and the word new in Hebrew is yada, Y-A-D-A. You say, why do we care? Because when the Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, that's the word yada. Be still and meet me face to face. Listen, the word means this. To meet me face to face and to see me in it. Be still and know that I am God in your situation. Meet me face to face, and if you do, you're going to know that I'm in all of your life's dealings. And isn't it interesting that God uses the exact same word for intercourse for Adam and Eve? Face to face, you know, humans do it face to face. Did you know that? No, listen, I'm not. God said that in the Bible. Why? Because there, and we don't have the time to get into it. No, we don't. I would love to, though. The eyes, the brain, the face to face, the process is literally science. There's a reason for it. God says, you deal with me, you deal with me face to face, and you and I will have a relationship, and all of your life's dealings, you will discover more and more about me. And the same is true regarding marriage. The same is true regarding monogamy. You might say, well, I'm not a Christian tonight. Okay, monogamy still works. You're still the same biological creation of God. But how could Adam have known what to do? Without California's help. Well, they did, because God made us. See, if you're an evolutionary animal, then maybe you do need help. But you're not. And listen, a man knows what to do, and he gets better at it. And she knows what to do, and she gets better at it. And it's called a relationship. And I'm going to say it. I said it in church. This is the life experience of a husband and a wife, and it's part of the bonding that keeps them together till death do they part. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's fantastic. But I got to tell you, listen, the Bible limits sexual experiences and expression. There's no doubt about that. To one man and one woman in the context and the bonds or the binding of marriage. And it's this conjugal union that God has established for pleasure, emotional stability. Did you know that? Physical health. You know, people who are married and stay monogamous live longer than those that do not? Did you know that? Did you know that their immune systems are stronger by monogamous sex one with another? Did you know that? They're healthier people. Remarkable. Psychologically. Suicide rates among married people are much lower than unmarried people. On and on it goes. But it's for creation and propagation, not just pleasure. As far as scientists can tell us, they say that only humans are the only ones who have sexual relationship for pleasure. Did you know that? So I don't know, man, my dog's pretty crazy. Your dog, that's a dog. It is a reproductive action of a dog. It's just pure biology for a dog. Reproduction, reproduction. Humans, God has blessed us with this gift to create a family. You know, you currently live in the United States of America. How did that happen? Because a nation was created. How did that happen? Because communities were created. Well, how did that happen? Because families were created. How did that happen? Because two people got together. That's how it happened. It's science. This is why God, he's not confused. Why are we confused? We're confused because, church, listen, there's an agenda. There's an agenda to deceive and to destroy the human being. And the Bible warns us that you and I are living in a world that is not the world that you and I see, as we've talked about before, but there's a spiritual world at war. There's a spiritual agenda to attack God and God's plan. You would have to agree with this tonight if you've disagreed with everything I've said thus far, is that there is an agenda to attack what is known as traditional or natural relationship or natural or biblical or scientific gender identity. All of a sudden, everyone's an expert and every man is doing or deciding what is right in their own eyes because everyone's feelings is supreme. Historically, do not believe a word I'm going to tell you right here, right now. Historically, when that happens, the next step is anarchy. Did you know that? Why? So how can that happen? Because when everyone begins to think that their opinion is the only opinion that there is, and those are very highly held opinions, that if you touch my opinion, then you're a threat to me, you see. And I've got to fight to defend my opinion. Listen, because my opinion on the grounds of truth and fact cannot support itself. It's fake. That's why I so passionately defend it. Because I've got to protect it because it's a straw man. Are you with me? So when somebody says, I don't agree with your view, they can't handle it and they go crazy violent. That's the precursor to anarchy. It's when your feelings trump everything, including the law, including God. We're very close to that age. So when I talked about gender confusion, gender identity, we're talking about the LGBT community. Why is lesbianism and bisexuality and gay or homosexuality or transgenderism on everybody's lips, on everything, and you can't watch a commercial now with somebody, two women kissing or two men holding hands? Why now? Why all of this? Because there's an agenda. It makes it to look normal, makes it to look acceptable, when it is in fact, listen, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, prove me wrong. It is an attempt to, and remember where I'm coming from. I am not coming after any individual, period. Nobody. I'm coming against the demonic darkness that's behind the scene. That's ripping people off. If people are listening to me right now and you're of the LGBTQ community, you need to know that I'm telling you that Satan's real and he hates your guts and he's pimping you and prostituting you because he wants your soul with him. He doesn't care one bit about you. And so, there's a push to normalize these aberrant lifestyles to try to make them normal. Just understand this. The push now has reached an epic level, and the hunger for normalcy is at warp speed, meaning this. We are now being mandated in schools and in our culture to accept an unscientific, unreasonable, illogical, damaging, life-shortening lifestyle that produces no life, but in fact produces death. There's no reproduction. It's only one generation old, you know? It can only live one generation. It cannot reproduce. And you say, no. We adopt. We adopt. The two daddies adopt. The two mommies adopt. From where? From normal. You have to adopt. You have to borrow from normal to feel normal. But you really don't feel normal. Why? Listen, we love you enough to tell you because Satan hates you. He's real. I understand that 74, I'll read it in a moment, but 74% of those talked to and reached out to have admitted or confessed that they were sexually molested as a child or as a child exposed to extreme pornography, which changed them. I believe that we're looking at a concerted, demonically energized seeding, seeding of a generation with suggestive pictures, with suggestive talk, commercials, music, and peer pressure. Children today are going to school and coming home 8 hours later, confused about their gender. Failing math, failing history, failing chemistry, failing everything except sexuality. Our system has failed us. Can you guys put the letter up from New Zealand? Do you have that? Okay. Can you guys look at this? This came because of this series. Hi, Pastor Jack. As I'm standing in my kitchen in New Zealand listening to your podcast on sex education in California schools, I am shocked and alarmed. I have a 7-year-old boy that attends a public primary school, junior school here in New Zealand, and his class has had a talk around safe sexual behavior at the start of his school term at the beginning of this year that included uniformed New Zealand police officers. New Zealand police officers helping deliver this message. I was not present for this, so I did not know the details of these discussions, but knew that it referenced to safe touch and what is not of that nature. The following day, after this talk had taken place, my son and two other boys were involved in an incident with a female classmate that involved chasing her around at lunchtime and touching her private parts. I was called into the school to discuss this with the principal. I was deeply shocked and confused by the situation that my son had been named to have been involved in, as he just wouldn't ordinarily do such a thing. We have a neighbor his age who is a girl, and they play together often, and both myself and her parents have never been alarmed by any sexual behavior. As a Christian family too, my son has never been exposed to pornography in our home, and we are very selective of the things we let our children watch. The point of this is, I believe this sexual talk that they had introduced to the school was way too explicit, and actually feeding them with ideas in a way encouraging it. I am certainly going to be looking into what the school system has in place around these discussions going forward. I ask in the meantime, what is a way that my child is protected from these talks without completely pulling them out of school and homeschooling them? That is the answer, by the way. Do we take them out of school during these talks? Absolutely. To then only hear about it from his peers? That's a problem. In fact, if you're a homeschooler today, if your kids are playing with any public school kids, that's a problem now. What are ways as parents we can turn it around to reference biblical truth and be on guard to our children's exposure to these disturbing teachings that are increasingly becoming normal? A writer from New Zealand. This is global, that parents correct. Her child was indoctrinated. Her child was polluted. Her child was confused in this sense, confused thinking that sex is something that's available to him at 7 years of age. Why the confusion? We've handed a jackhammer over to a 2-year-old. We've handed the keys of a Ferrari to a 13-year-old. It'd kill them. It's very dangerous, the path that we're going down. You want to know how this happens? Indoctrination, peer pressure, lies. Why? Who's the father of lies? So look at this lie. Try not to laugh. Try not to laugh. Dead serious. This is New York Times, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this. The gay penguins of Australia. Two male penguins are raising a baby whose gender is unknown. Okay, first of all, the baby's gender is unknown because the New York Times doesn't want to know the baby's gender. By the way, it's not a baby. It's a penguin. Chick. Okay? Gay penguins. Well, did you know that the next slide, okay, Sydney, Australia, it was a young penguin colony, but all but one of the couples were pretty bad parents. They would get distracted from their nest, go for a swim or play, and so neglected eggs that were getting cold, likely never to hatch. This was normal for inexperienced penguins, and the aquarium managers didn't worry. Next mating season would be better. Next, I think we have more. Oh, no. Do you guys have the rest of that? No? Okay, well, you can go back to the CNN thing. That article, by the way, went on to say that two male penguins adopted a rock. It was a stone. It was a rock. And they began, you know what they do? They dandle the egg on their feet. And then when one goes and eats, the other one does it. And they declared them because they wanted them to be gay penguins. They said the emperor penguins, they were gay. Now listen, let's for a moment be as stupid as they are. Did they witness the two gay penguins having sex? Oh no. They witnessed the two emperor penguins balancing a rock on their feet, and because that's what male emperor penguins do to eggs. But the New York Times wanted them to be gay, and so did CNN. Okay, so did the Australian Zoo, and so did the Berlin Zoo. A gay penguin couple adopted an egg in the Berlin Zoo. What do you think about that? Boom, CNN, it's got to be true. Thank God for the National Geographic. Male emperor penguins keep the newly laid eggs warm, but they do not sit on them, as many other birds do. Males stand to protect their eggs from the elements, balancing them on their feet and covering them with feathered skin known as a brood pouch. These penguins are responding to a DNA program within them to raise up young. It is within the male. I'm talking about the animal world. You don't ever want to get between two male moose and a girl moose. They will kill one another to get to her. Why? Because they're hot? Because they've been looking at moose porn? Do you know why moose will kill to get to the female? Do you know why? Because it is driven within them to reproduce moose. This is basic. It's been true for thousands of years. It's true tonight. But the world out there wants you to believe that there are gay animals. Why would they? Why? Why would they want you to believe that there's gay animals? To make them feel better about their position. There are no gay animals. Animals reproduce to carry on the bloodline or the species. But no. Look at down there. The homosexual behavior of male king penguins has already been noted in zoos. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, every zoologist, National Geographic, the Smithsonian Institute mocks what CNN and the New York Times want you to believe. What's up? What's up? Remarkable. Next, I think should be number three, you guys, I think, on the screen or on your notes. Number three. Okay, here you go. Yeah, sorry, I didn't read the top. You had it the first time. This is the Telegraph, I think, from London. Penguins are not gay. They're just lonely. They found out that these two guys, they had no girls in the exhibit. And so the two guys hung out with each other. They walked together. Look, no, seriously, they walked together. They hung out together. Because they followed one another, people declared them to be gay. Because your child goes to school and the teacher says that they might be gay doesn't make your son or your daughter gay. The system is feeding your kid with the thought. Just like the media right here was trying to feed you. Oh my goodness, I didn't know there were gay penguins. There are no gay penguins. There's this imbecile reporters. These animals know science perfectly well. They know exactly what they're doing. What's up? What's happening? The confusion needs to stop. I'm reading now. According to a report presented at a bisexual health symposium held in August of 2009, so my goodness, it's pretty old. Here's a quotation from the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, page 489. Quote, research presented by Cheryl Dobinson and Stuart Landers from their two separate studies was remarkably similar. Bisexuals reported suffering from depression, anxiety, and higher rates than heterosexuals or lesbians and gay men. In terms of attempting or thinking of attempting suicide, bisexual men were 7 times higher, while gay men were 4 times higher than straight men. Bisexual women were 6 times higher, while lesbian women were 4 times higher than straight women. An Australian study revealed that middle-aged bisexual women were 24 times more likely to engage in physical mutilation, self-harm, and cuttings than sexual abused straight women. So I guess straight women and bisexual women that were both abused, the bisexuals had a 24 times greater threat to them. Their research also revealed that 74% of bisexuals reported coping mechanism. The research also revealed that 70% of bisexuals reported to have had experienced child sexual abuse. What does this tell us about the impact of nurture on sexual orientation, at least in a large number of cases? And how can any of this be deemed either normal or positive? Because it's just so destructive. Our kids are being lied to and our culture is being lied to. Impressionable kids are being victimized by people who have an agenda. Now listen, I want to say something regarding this. Your child, I've told you this before, and I'm just repeating the Bible. If you have children, you are to raise them in the way that they are to go, says the Bible. That means as a parent, you're responsible to look at your baby boy and say to yourself, I'm going to raise him in the way of a male. This is normal. This is normal. If you have a female, you say to yourself as a parent, I'm going to raise her in the way of a female. My words right now seem like I'm speaking Martian to you because you too have been polluted by the talking points of our culture. Can he even say that? Isn't it interesting that they're doing the exact thing God said to do, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons or in a twisted manner? The system. Satan knows. When I say the system, I'm not picking on any person. It's a demonic system. So tonight, listen, I want to actually encourage you. And I'll do this by throwing myself under the bus, so to speak. In a way, watch this. Personally, I don't struggle with the temptation to gamble. I don't know if you do or not. It doesn't matter. I don't want to know. I have never been tempted to gamble in my life. That allurement has escaped me. It's not my thing. I can honestly tell you, I don't battle with covetousness. I just don't. If you have something nice, I'm so happy for you. I'm glad you have that. I don't go, man, how come she has it? I want one. That's never been a problem of mine. If Johnny had a shinier toy than mine, I thought that was great for Johnny. It's not my thing. I have never been tempted regarding homosexuality. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing. Drugs, alcohol, never been tempted by it. You say, well, aren't you something? I'm not finished. Those are things that I don't battle. There are things I battle. And you're very quiet now to hear what they are. I'm not going to tell you. But I tell you this. The temptation. Randy, was that you? Fish tacos? Yeah. Remember in the Bible, the temptation is not the sin. Everyone's going to be tempted. In your area of temptation, your flesh and the world and Satan, the Bible says in 1 John, gangs up on you. And this thing or that thing allures you. That's your allurement. Whatever that thing is, what are you supposed to do with it? For example, hypothetically, if you're married right now and you got two kids and you got your life, things are fine, but you get tempted. There's a new secretary at work, and boy, she's something. And you look and you go, whoa, man, she's something. What are you supposed to do about that? She says, Ron. He said, no. He said, fire. You can't do that. That's not her problem. It's your problem. No, listen. Run. That's the biblical thing. Run. Run, Forrest. Run. But let's say you can't run. Then you know what you do? You do everything you can to avoid interaction with that person without being a mean person. In other words, you don't go over to her and say, hey, did you see the Rams game last weekend? You don't do that. You conduct yourself wisely. Why? Because you recognize she's attractive to your eyes. Are you with me? That's enough for you to say, I am not getting near that. Do you hear me? This is normal living. By the way, if you're married tonight, that's what your spouse expects of you. Before you said, I do, you said, I forsake all others. Temptation's not the sin. If you see the temptation and then act on the temptation and say, woo, man, he's so handsome. He's something. I want to say hi to him. You are almost to the point of ruin because you've opened yourself up. You're supposed to fight it. If you are attracted to the same sex, it's a temptation. Did you hear me? It's a temptation. Don't act on it. Man, I don't know, Pastor Jack. He didn't mention bank robbing. I really want to rob a bank. I just thought it'd be so great to be a bank robber. I want to wear the bandana. I want to shoot him up. I want to, yahoo! Don't act on that. Are you with me? Look, okay, here's a temptation of mine. I'll confess one of them. I have a hard time driving below 100 miles an hour. I believe, why would Detroit make a car with the ability, the speedometer says 160 on it. Why do they put it there if you're not supposed to go fast? See my justification? Never underestimate a man's ability to justify himself. You can't go that fast. It's against the law. But my car can go faster than that. You can't do that. Are you hearing me? Oh, man, if you're a guy and you're attracted to guys, you fight the temptation. You're not gay. You are not gay. You're not gay. You are fighting a temptation. That doesn't mean you're gay. Well, you know what? I think maybe if I started drinking, I would love it. I'm an alcoholic. Have you drank? No, but I think... You're tempted. You're not an alcoholic. Does that make sense to you? If you're tempted to go to See's Candy, best candy in the world, I think, See's Candy. If you're tempted to go to See's to overeat chocolate, you don't go down that aisle at the mall. This is normal. We're out of time. No. I can't believe it. No, it's only 7:30, isn't it? No, I can't, because we have children's ministry taking care of all your kids. And what are we going to do? Should we pick this up next week? I don't know. It's communion next week. You know, I almost feel like a show where we'll close it down and then we'll go on. You know, we'll go and carry it on after hours. But this is such a critical issue. Some of you liked me before you came in here, and now you hate me. Because, listen, your emotion has been touched. Because somewhere in your life, there's an LGBT person, and you love them. Good, I'm glad you do. You should, and we should. We should love them enough to tell them the truth.
Amen.
And we should encourage them. Because, listen, I'm going to submit to you tonight that there's a demonic system out there that is anti-human. And it is devoted to destroying human beings who have been created in the image of God. If you really believe in your Bible, then you have to believe in a real devil. And he hates you. And he wants to kill you. And then those of us who are believers who risk our reputation and our safety to say the truth of it, that you might come out of a lie and be set free, because you're in a system that really is incapable of true love. You may have found your comfort among some people that you have agreement in and with, but what is it based on? Brokenness? Childhood abuse? And you live your life and you're trying to feel normal, but you're going about it in abnormal ways, and then you wonder why you can't stand yourself on the inside. Listen, a friend of mine died of AIDS. Lisa and I would have him over all the time, and he got married and they had a baby, and he just couldn't break it. And I forget what his age, my goodness, I forget how young we were. But he came to me and he said, "Listen, I have AIDS and I'm dying." And he said, "I want you to know something. I've done everything I can to hide this." And he said, "Never, ever believe that there's anything gay about my lifestyle. It is brutality." And he died. Lisa and I watched him die. This is happening to people around the world. You love on them, you love on them, but you don't lie to them. You tell them, listen, the Bible makes it very clear that no homosexual, murderer, adulterer, fornicator is going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then the next verse goes down in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were justified, but you were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb." He sets us free. No one gets a free pass. When the culture says, "It's okay, know this," God says, "No, it's not." Nobody gets a free pass. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need his forgiveness. We all need to repent before him. We need to tell him, "I'm wrong, God. I've sinned against you, and I have let my lust and my passion and my longing to belong be the absolute one factor of my life, even over you, God. And I'm going to repent of that now." You need to do that right where you're at. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would just move through this sanctuary tonight to bring love, joy, release, forgiveness, repentance of the heart to any man or woman tonight that is struggling with these things. Show them, Father, in your word, where your word makes it so very clear that this lifestyle, just like adultery, just like robbing banks, just like drugs or anything else, if that's our lifestyle, your Bible says, can't get into heaven with that baggage. Can't come. And in that revelation, in that revelatory moment, may love and forgiveness and power and the grace of God flood the heart tonight. That person that tonight, just 55 minutes ago, began grinding their teeth, I pray that you'd melt them where they're at. That they would just now fill their lungs with air. And to hear your word that says, though your sins be like scarlet, I will make them as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as pure as snow. Tonight, my friend, give your life to Jesus. Tell him right now, God, I know you know the truth about me, and I know you know my life. For some of you, it might be a secret lifestyle. God knows. It's never been a secret. God has always known. But now he's calling you tonight to repent and to follow him. Listen, you'll have to battle those temptations, but the power of God will give you the victory. I promise you that. You don't need to go 100 miles an hour. You don't need to have that lifestyle anymore. You're free. Come to Jesus. Come to Christ. Call upon him and experience his liberty. Church, let's stand together as we close in this song. And as we're closing, you know, it may be that tonight you need prayer. There'll be people up front here to pray with you tonight. Maybe you want to get something off your heart. There'll be people here to pray with you. So I'm sorry for the abrupt ending. I lost control of the clock. Someday, you know, in heaven, there's not going to be a clock. But then we won't need sermons in heaven either. So I'll be out of a job. But God bless you as we close in this song. God bless.